Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 5, Number 9. In the last edition of SNU, I outlined the basic steps I take when interacting with clients seeking better health, wellness, and athletic performance. On a one-to-one basis, my initial goal is to determine their present functional health status and physical condition. This is achieved through a personal interview and a wide variety of health assessments and screening procedures. Next, I identify their personal objectives and then design a practical lifestyle strategy for the achievement of their goals. This includes the addition or modification of a structured functional exercise program, a diet compatible with their biochemistry designed to supply individual biological demand, and a variety of natural health products selected to reinforce the cells with energy, enhance immune function, and support the treatment of any injuries or existing health conditions. My topic for this edition of Clinical Review is titled Adrenal Exhaustion. This particular topic is relevant to millions of men and women affected by stress and helps explain why, if we ignore symptoms of fatigue and exhaustion, or use stimulants to counter this common state, we begin to break down and experience depression, fatigue syndromes, and a great variety of autoimmune conditions. To cope with stress, nature equips every newborn child with a pair of fresh young adrenal glands packed full of vitamin C, potassium, zinc, pantothenic acid, and essential fatty acids. And here's a clue right off the bat in terms of what nutrients to take. It's that simple, folks. The things that are depleted due to stress are the things that you use to supply that demand. And if you don't, that's when you get into trouble. So again, vitamin C, potassium, zinc, pantothenic acid, which is vitamin B5, and the essential fatty acids. Each adrenal gland is nestled on the upper inner surface of each kidney and consists of an outer larger portion called the cortex and an inner portion referred to as the medulla. Although the cortex and medulla are integrated by structure, these two regions are completely separate in function and hormonal release. The medulla produces adrenaline and noradrenaline, which prepares the body for physical effort and response to stress. The cortex produces cortisol and aldosterone, which are vital to maintaining balance and homeostasis of body chemistry under stress. The cortex also produces sex hormones similar to those produced in the testes and ovaries. The adrenal cortex is capable of synthesizing over 60 steroid hormones and more, including gonadocorticoids like progestogens, estrogens, and androgens, mineral corticoids, mainly aldosterone, and the glucocorticoids, the most significant of which is cortisol. Cortisol is a major player in the body's response to stress and directly influences the metabolism of sugar, protein, and fat. The glucocorticoids are so named because of their action in raising blood sugar. During a stressful event, cortisol helps sustain blood sugar concentration by temporarily preventing the entrance of glucose into all tissues except the brain and the spinal cord. In addition, it forces the catabolic breakdown of muscle and other organs into amino acids, which is then converted into glucose for extra fuel. Upregulation of the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis during athletic competition causes cortisol to rise with a simultaneous decrease in DHEA. This is catabolic sequencing at its best. Cortisol can interfere with growth and recovery by increasing the rate of protein breakdown, especially if and when it remains chronically elevated, as it does in the overtrained athlete, the chronically ill, the anxiety-prone personality type, or the sedentary individual who adapts to stress by overeating. High cortisol levels are immunosuppressive and destroy sexual function and libido. Elevated cortisol has been implicated as a causative factor in substance abuse, smoking, alcoholism, anorexia nervosa, impairment of memory, and age-related neuronal damage. It is also associated with altered cardiac rhythm patterns. Stress of any kind, including injury, extreme heat or cold, pain, viral infection, chronic disease, intense exercise, or the emotions of anxiety, fear, depression, grief, frustration, and anger, cause the release of ACTH, which is called adrenocorticotropin hormone. This is a polypeptide located in the anterior lobe of the pituitary, an endocrine gland in the brain. ACTH activates cortisol secretion from the adrenals, which cooperates with norepinephrine and epinephrine in preparing the body for that flight or fight that we have heard referred to so many times. Norepinephrine and epinephrine, also known as noradrenaline and adrenaline, they're the same things, are classified as catecholamines or neurohormones. They are both synthesized in the adrenal medulla from the amino acid tyrosine and serve as neurotransmitters in the brain and in the autonomic nervous system. Now here's another clue for helping with adrenal exhaustion. Tyrosine. Take a couple of grams in the morning with a bit of juice to facilitate its entrance into the blood-brain barrier across that. And sure enough, you'll start picking up levels of epinephrine in the brain, which are also depleted by the use of various recreational drugs. Response to stress, as defined by the late Canadian physiologist Hans Selye, is a built-in mechanism designed to protect us from damage. Selye defined human reaction to any form of stress as a general adaptation syndrome, or GAS, G-A-S. He proposed that GAS consisted of three stages of progression, including 1, the alarm phase, 2, the adaptation phase, and 3, the exhaustion phase. Diseases and injury mainly appear in the exhaustion phase when, due to depletion and lowered resistance, the body loses the ability to manage the effects of stress. An example of the alarm phase is when a muscle in the body is constantly overworked. Soreness is common, followed by stiffness and inflammation. In a state of optimum health, if the body is strong, well-rested, and well-nourished with whole food and dietary supplements, such symptoms will quickly pass, and the muscle will return to its previous state of wellness. This provides evidence of an intelligent and self-regulating healing mechanism at work and inherent in the body. So there you have it. The body is designed to heal itself, but it won't and can't unless you provide the environment conducive towards that end. If the muscle is continuously overworked and combined with additional unresolved financial, relationship, or work-related stress, and so you're stressing out the muscle and then you've got other stresses in your life at the same time, it will eventually start to adapt and accommodate itself to all of the repetitive stress factors present in order to cope with the demands of the stress in a manner beyond the scope of the alarm stage. Eventually, the body as a whole complete unit, will begin to adapt in the same manner, at which point the second or resistance stage comes into play. The resistance stage does not normally present any specific set of symptoms at first and can last for many years, even decades. In fact, resistance stage adaptation will last for as many years as the body's resources and reserves will allow while the body continues with its prime directive and attempts to heal itself. Now, do you know how many times I've heard people say, I'm not under stress? Well, they are in distress, but the body's adapting, and day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, their reserves are being depleted until all of a sudden, crash. And they wonder, like, what happened, man? It's because they were ignoring the state that they were in, and they don't get the connection between stress as a physiological effect on the body and a physiological drop in the reserves that can be countered by taking an excellent food partition approach to food dieting and nutrition. And of course, using supplements, being very liberal and unafraid. People, be afraid of those drugs, those prescription drugs, but do not be afraid of the vitamins. Come on. Depending on individual genetic makeup and variables like quality of diet, quantity of rest and sleep, current emotional trauma, injury, illness, medication, and surgery, one's ability to continue to adapt and resist to stress can vary significantly from one person to another. This explains why two different people faced with apparently identical challenges can and often do respond quite differently. Most people get used to the resistance stage and associate symptoms like fatigue, chronic pain, headaches, and the accumulation of body fat with age. But nothing, nothing could be farther from the truth. What appears to be normal is, in fact, a deviation from what is possible when health of mind and body is present, a fall from grace, so to speak. It's a false norm predicated by the business of conventional disease management, and believe me, it is a business and it's highly profitable, and experienced by a modern population of sedentary adults subsiding in what I consider to be one of the worst diets in the world. A diet of affluence, lust, and decadence. A diet consisting of devitalized, sterilized food that defies logic and fails to provide the energy and micronutrient requirements of not just the human body, but any living organism. As we continue to cope with the many subtle and complex varied stresses of life in the fast lane, be they structural, biochemical, or emotional, it is at the end of the resistance stage, when a person's adaptive mechanisms begin to fail, that the final stage of Selye's model, known as the exhaustion stage, finally appears. At this point, our ability to cope with stress diminishes to the point where chronic disease sets in and spreads through susceptible tissue like a creeping vine in the night. To really understand the progression of the general adaptation syndrome, let's once again consider the overworked muscle. When the muscle is first overworked, the alarm stage manifests as pain, stiffness, and perhaps inflammation. If this stress of overwork becomes chronic and the symptoms of the alarm stage are ignored or covered with medication, as many people do, then during the resistance stage which follows, the muscle will become increasingly less elastic and more fibrous, placing stress on sites where tendon is attached to bone. This creates additional problems of pain, interferes with athletic ability, and puts undue stress on the joints. When the joints go, sorry Charlie, no tuna. Left untreated, the muscle will eventually enter into the exhaustion stage with impediment, calcification, erosion of collagen and cartilage, and inflammation eventually giving way and possibly degenerating into fibromyalgia, fibroplasia, fibrositis, muscular rheumatism, and various forms of arthritis, as they are so called and then labeled. Many women suffer from adrenal exhaustion. Consequently, their bodies are not doing a great job of making their own natural hormones. Some women eat high-fat diets to compensate that provide exogenous estrogen hidden in the dairy and animal fats, but that effect or that ingestion of exogenous estrogen will do nothing but harm them. Many women don't realize the causal relationship between food and health and the necessity of a healthy lifestyle, especially some of the seniors. They don't see the connection between how they have eaten for decades, their lack of exercise, and their present state. People, we have to wake up and use science to guide us, not superstition, not hearsay, and certainly not nutrition degrees gathered by watching thousands of hours of television. Today, it seems like we are more stressed out than ever before. You ever hear people complaining about stress, wiping them out? Every day on the television, radio, media, stress, 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 stress. Drive a car, go to the gym, meet with people, go to a party. It's all stress. But some of it's good and some of it's bad, so we can differentiate between the two. But still, it's stress coming at us. We've got teens committing suicide at high rates. We've got men and women working long hours into the night, and physicians cannot write enough prescriptions for antidepressant and anti-anxiety medications. My God, look at the number of people taking Prozac and Zoloft and medications to help them deal with just life in general. Although modern technology has accelerated at a pace beyond the comprehension of our primitive ancestors, our biological makeup hasn't changed really at all or appreciably for many thousands of years. Because of this, understanding how our bodies react to external and internal stressors is vitally important to the quest for optimal health and well-being. While questions remain as to precisely how stress contributes to the disease process, research has shown that chronic stress causes a significant dysfunction of one of the most vital systems of our body, the neuroendocrine system. And with the advent of psychoneuroimmunology and its controversy, we are beginning to realize that how we communicate, how we think, how we interact with people, our perception of reality is just as important as the food we eat, the air we breathe, and the water we drink. Here's a couple of examples of vitamins and nutrients that will help with stress. And keep in mind that there are many, many others. But just to give you an idea that there is a lot of science to back up what I'm saying and to back up what other orthomolecular physicians around the world are saying, and that is take vitamins and minerals to protect yourself from stress. Vitamin C has been shown to help modulate high levels of cortisol brought about by stress. A study in 2001 by Peters et al., published in the International Journal of Sports Medicine, Volume 22, examined the effects of supplemental vitamin C on high cortisol levels brought about by physical stress in marathon runners. Athletes who took 1,500 milligrams per day of vitamin C had significantly lower post-race cortisol levels than those taking either 500 milligrams a day or placebo. This is why I add vitamin C powder, calcium ascorbate, to each shake before and after the stress, which is my workout. Because it is stressful, it's very intense, I love it, I derive huge, gigantic benefit from it, but it is a form of stress, so I need to protect myself from the ravages of cortisol, which is going to elevate due to the stress of the training. Here's another one. In a study published in the 2003 June issue of Diabetes and Metabolism, researchers gave 7 study volunteers over 7 grams per day of fish oil for 3 weeks and then subjected them to a battery of mental stress tests. After 3 weeks of fish oil supplementation, the rise in cortisol levels secondary to stress testing was significantly blunted, leading the authors to conclude that supplementation with omega-3 fatty acids from fish oil inhibits the adrenal activation elicited by mental stress, presumably through effects exerted at the level of the central nervous system. In one way, health can be defined by the interaction between what we are adapting to and the reserves and potential resources we have to work with. Tip the scales in the wrong direction for too long and we burn out. Tip the scales up in favor of health and restoration with adequate rest, optimum sports nutrition, and progressive routine exercise, and we win the battle against exhaustion and disease for today. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Vince Lombardi, former coach of the Green Bay Packers and NFL Hall of Famer. "Fatigue makes cowards of us all."